It is Lights, Camera, Jackson. This is the LCJ Q&A podcast. You can also read these interviews at animationscoop.com. The Casa Grandes, now in a feature-length movie. You can watch it on Netflix Friday, March 22nd. The Casa Grandes movie. Miguel Puga is the director. Miguel, welcome back to the LCJ Q&A.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Jackson. It's been such a pleasure last time we spoke, and I'm so excited to chat some big, grandes stuff about the movie, and I can't wait to hear your thoughts on it.
Thank you, and I really enjoyed the movie. I enjoyed the many aspects of it. We've got a backstory. We've got a fun family story. We've got epic action, especially in the third act. It is wild. Congratulations. Has it sunk in for you yet that you've taken this very popular Nickelodeon animated series and now it's a movie that millions and millions are just going to love?
It hasn't yet, but this being my first movie, it's one of the best experiences I ever had in my entire career, because I got to work with some of the best people. Some of my best friends got to work on it, and we got to sit down for almost 2 years and just make this very epic, grande movie with all of them. And I'm so glad you really enjoyed it, because that's what we wanted to do. We wanted to make this movie feel like Goonies meets like a Marvel movie, but still keep it contained in the Casa Grande Loud House world, right? Yeah. So I hope that's kind of the area where we ended up, because I really enjoyed it and we all wanted to do a movie that we wanted to watch.
You pull it off for sure. And you start off with this backstory. We go 800 years into the past, and it is quite an open to this movie. Tell me about the origins of it and how you wanted to bring us into this very interesting start of the film.
Yeah, so it started off with Lalo Alcaraz, one of the writers, and I... they approached him to work on the movie first. And even before I even signed on, I think we both said at the same time, like, they have to go to Michoacan, they have to go to Mexico, because just like, this is so relatable for a lot of families, like spontaneous road trips. But if you're Mexican American, you always get those spontaneous road trips to Mexico for like over the summer. So that used to happen to me all the time over the summer. And I used to hate it. I was like, I don't want to go. I want to hang out with my friends. I want to stay here. But going to Mexico, really, I love going to Michoacan, which is the part of like the area where my family's from, the state. And it's just so beautiful and green and the culture. And I fell in love with the Purépecha culture, which is the indigenous group in Michoacan. And just learning about the culture and how alive and vibrant it is, it made me kind of want to learn more. So I always had this in my heart, like, I want to do something. So I put in some like little sprinkles on the Casa series, like Rosa, the grandmother. She comes out like Return of the Jedi or like a Jedi, but she's dressed like a Purépecha lady with the actual reboso from Michoacán that she has around. And so when we did that, like, I wanted to make sure whatever we could do is to represent the Purépecha culture. And I'm so, you know, thanks so much to Nickelodeon for having us reach out to members from the indigenous group to help us and be cultural consultants on it. So we had Iris Calderon, Curly Tlapoyawa, who were our cultural consultants, to make sure we did it right? Because we don't want to just like put a blanket over like, oh, everyone knows what Aztecs are, everyone knows what Mayans are. But there's like 69 indigenous groups in South America that we couldn't represent all of them, but we wanted to focus on the Purépecha culture in Michoacán. And so that's where it stems from. Like, I wanted to do something epic. I wanted to bring the gods in. I wanted just to show like the sun god, the earth goddess, and, you know, Bunguari, who is the demigoddess of the moon. She, just to see what powers and just the myth and the cultural significance it could have on anyone that watches it. And we just hope that, you know, the audience members learn more about their own family's history and traditions as well as they watch this movie, because that's one thing I enjoyed the most working on this movie. It was just like learning more about my culture, learning more, diving more into it, learning the language. Yeah, that's it. I don't know if I answered your question, but
it did. And this movie is so much about family. Obviously, it's about the Casagrandes family, but family at its core and the emotions that family members have in the joy in going on those spontaneous trips, which, yes, those scenes in this movie are very fun when Ronnie Anne is suddenly going to Mexico with the rest of the gang, and it's a lot of fun. And when she meets up with Pungari, she's 12,000 mm-hmm. years old. Ronnie Anne is turning 12. And so they have a lot in common. They have a lot in common that they're able to share in their arc, at least initially in the first part of their arc before some certain other things happen. But you have an interesting dynamic with the two girls there.
Yeah, we wanted to make sure that they're basically going through the same thing. Obviously, Pungari, you know, has a vendetta and wants to become a goddess. And Rania just wants to do her own thing, right? She just wants to skate with Sid and her friend Samir and the rest of the gang. But one thing we loved is that connection they both had with, even with Maria and Rania, something we hardly explored on the series. And it was so pivotal that we got to do it on this and make it more of like a mother-daughter movie. Same with Pungari and her mother, Shisiki. And it just rings home for me because my daughter is 10 right now, and I'm going to take her on a spontaneous trip to Mexico in May. So I hope she doesn't awaken a 12,000-year-old demigoddess, but it's going to be fun. And I could feel like, you know, she wants to do her own thing. She wants to be her own person. I could see that little person growing up. And that's how I felt with Ronnie Anne and Maria. And it's just, I think it's a great movie for the entire family to watch. And it's going to be amazing. It made my wife cry when she watched it. And she's like, is this me? Are you making fun of me in this movie? I'm like, no, it's just, it's universal. Everyone doesn't want to let go of their little kid, right? You want to make sure they can't grow up and keep them little, put them in a jar if you can't. I don't put my kid in a jar. But you know what I mean.
these themes are universal. And I have to tell you what I think is the best scene in the entire movie to me. There's a lot, you know, there's a lot of great scenes, action, comedy. To me, it's the three generations of women outside talking about life. To me, that is the poignant powerhouse moment in the film. And it's one I'm going to remember for a long time.
Yeah, that scene, that sequence is, we coined it chancla therapy. And it was by far my favorite sequence in the movie when I first read the script. And I couldn't wait to get it on board and watch it. And that was boarded by one of my favorite board artists on the movie, Diana Kidlin. And she did an amazing job because she understood these characters. And she, like, it's just a pivotal moment because it's so fun and heartful. And you could just feel the, you know, just the three generations of the women, Chancla warriors, kind of envelop each other. Just like, hey, we all had to let each other go when they're all great grandmother, mother, you know, and grandmother to Ronnie Anne. So it's great.
Yeah. The Casagrandes movie is on Netflix this Friday, March 22nd. Miguel Puga is here with me on the LCJ Q&A podcast. You mentioned about being able to do things in terms of the story with this movie that you couldn't do on the series. And I was thinking as I was watching this visually too, the show was fast paced, but I feel like there had to be moments in this and sequences and visual cuts and edits that you felt like, hey, we got the freedom to be able to try some stuff here that really works.
Oh yeah, we wanted to go as ambitious and big as we could. On the series, we always focus on the X and Y axis. You know, it's supposed to be kind of like a Sunday comic, but we wanted to play around with the Z axis and just kind of move the camera, the perspective, add more depth into there and just, you know, play with the lighting, especially the lighting, because the lighting could do so much to just a flat background. And just, you know, just to harmonize the characters, we wanted to add some like rim light on the character. I know we always get that funny meme where like, oh, how do you make a TV show to a movie? Oh, you just add a light and a shadow on it. So we did that, but it was so fun. And we, you know, Miguel Gonzalez, the art director, Cowie Zunkini, associate art director, just did some amazing work. Like I just loved every paint, every brush stroke, every line work they added to this film, because it's such a beautiful movie to look at, and it represents Mexico, and it represents, like, you know, we're so used to seeing, like, you know, sepia tone colors in Mexico, or like dried out desert colors. But this movie, we really wanted to showcase the beautiful colors you find when you're in Mexico, and especially in Michoacán. There's so much greenery. I've never seen so much. It's like being in Yosemite or in the East Coast where it actually rains, right?
Yeah. Oh, this is a beautiful film. It's very cool. It's got great daytime scenes and nighttime scenes and fun comedic moments like Flat Arturo. I had Flat recently, yes. Did some of those when I was young. So you get those surreal comedic moments like Flat Arturo. And I want to ask you about two voice actors that you have in this. The first is Cristo Fernandez, who of course is Danny Rojas on Ted Lasso, bringing him in. And I could tell through his voice performance, he had a lot of fun with this, just like he does on Ted Lasso.
Oh, he was the best. We were so excited to have him. And man, he did some of the best, like Walla. He's all over in the movie. Like, you could hear him as the people running and screaming in the third act. But he was so fun to work with. And I'm a huge fan of Ted Lasso. And just seeing him, I was like, and we actually made Chipiti, Punguari's dad, kind of resemble him. That was the first idea that I had. Like, I wanted to use Cristo from the beginning, and I kind of based it off of Cristo, and especially his, like, nice hair. So we kind of gave Punguari the same kind of hairdo, to kind of, like, you know, she got that from her dad.
Yeah. And the second person I have to mention is an animation legend, Jorge R. Gutierrez, who has a very pivotal role in the film. How did you get him to be involved in this? And his work has inspired so many over the years.
Yeah, he's a good friend of mine. And I love the guy. We text often. And so I always wanted to use him just to kind of give us the blessing, like, hey, check it out. Because we used him on the Casa Grande series. So when we got to use him on this, it was so fun. And he delivered some amazing lines. You could hear him screaming too, as Walla, as some of the people running away. But he was a lot of fun, and he brought, like, a lot of funny lines to life where it's like, all right, now we got to change the animation to match what he's doing. But speaking of another actor, Paulina Chavez, who plays Punguari, was by far, like, compared to Isabella, who voices Ronnie Ann, she is, like, top notch. Like, one of my favorite actors I've ever got to work with. And she's such a professional, and she speaks the Purépecha language, and she came in prepared, and it's such a tough language to understand. But I'm sure, like you saw, she's screaming it up to the heavens, and she nailed it every time. And I'm so proud to have her on this movie. And so is everyone else.
There is a lot of screaming from a lot of characters in the movie.
There's a lot.
Yeah. All good there. And I have to ask you before we go, Miguel, obviously when families go on vacation and trips, they're taking lots of pictures. What would you say is the biggest snapshot, the biggest memory, one thing from your experience making the Casa Grandes movie?
Well, that's a great question, Jackson. The best thing is seeing the movie done and just working, like at the last screening we had, and knowing it was in good hands when we sent it over to Netflix, because we had Mighty Animation work on this, and they're from Mexico, and I fought to have it done in Mexico, and I'm so proud, and we were so lucky to have them on there, and just seeing scenes come back. And especially in the third act, some of the action stuff, working with our internal animation team here, which I got to give it up to Franz Vischer and Mitch Kennedy, who helped us so much. They're our animation directors. So that's why you see a lot of these moments of, like, really goofy, funny, wacky cartoons. I don't want to give it away, but there's a moment where someone rips off their shirt.
Yes.
And it's just moments like that. When seeing it completed, with the music, with Marcelo Trevino doing the music, with he actually got a choir in there to sing in Purépecha, the language. Those moments where we saw the final movie, I was just so proud, and I may have shed a few tears, because it was something I would never think, you know, the Purépecha culture could be on the big little screen, because it's streaming, right? But for us, it's always going to be in the big screen, because that's where we saw it, and it's just a beautiful movie, and I'm so proud of it.
Yeah, I hope families watch it on the biggest screens that they have.
Yeah, that's true, right?
Yes. Especially fans of the series, you're going to love this. The Casa Grande's movie premieres Friday, March 22nd on Netflix. Miguel Puga, the director of the Casa Grande's movie. Congratulations. Ooh. I'm thrilled for you. And thank you for being here today on the LCJ Q&A podcast.
Thank you so much, Jackson. I'm so happy to see you again, and I hope we get to talk again.
Absolutely, man. Yes, I am Lights, Camera, Jackson. For all of these episodes, go to Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, lights-camera-jackson.com, and read these Q&As at animationscoop.com. Thanks for being here, and thank you for listening to this episode of the LCJ Q&A.